Welcome to the Real Estate Syndication Show. Whether you are a seasoned investor or building a new real estate business, this is the show for you. Whitney Sewell talks to top experts in the business. Our goal is to help you master real estate syndication. And now your host, Whitney Sewell.
This is your daily Real Estate Syndication Show. I'm your host, Whitney Sewell. Today, our guest is Abel Pacheco. Thanks for being on the show, Abel.
Hey, thank you for having me, Whitney. Appreciate the invitation and appreciate all the time and effort you put into putting education out there for others. I think it's awesome sewing back into the network there.
Oh, thank you for that. I'm grateful for your time as well and you being willing to give back and share your expertise and experience with the listeners and myself. But a little about Abel, in case you haven't heard of him before. He began real estate investing in 2008, invested in 800 doors of multifamily, 400 passively as an LP, and then also 400 on the GP side as an active partner as well. While working full-time as an IT sales leader. 20 years of corporate and entrepreneurial experience, including a verifiable 10x track record of sales from $5 million in 2010 to $57 million of acquisitions in 2016. Been married for 12 years with two beautiful children, a two-year-old and an eight-month-old. Wow, congratulations on many fronts there, Abel, and grateful again to have you on the show. I want to jump in and highlight your superpower, but I want you to tell the listeners a little bit more about maybe where you're from and your focus right now in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again for having me on. Yeah, I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas originally. I grew up there and moved after high school to San Antonio, Texas. So pretty much been half of my life in Corpus and half of my life in San Antonio, Texas. And yep, we just celebrated the 12 year, as you mentioned, actually yesterday. So we were super excited and two under two. So it's been a good run. My wife is one of my biggest advocates and best partner that I have. And she's been there alongside as we've been real estate investing since we were younger. And yeah, just enjoyed the time. We started investing in 2008. We were probably like a lot of investors. We were investors in single family houses and slowly but surely just every couple of years would squirrel away as much as we could. And it's enough to put a down payment on a new house. And we would slowly just stack properties and we were buy and hold investors. We'd buy them, make sure that they were nice, clean, comfortable, safe, rent them out. And throughout the years, as you mentioned, full-time was working in IT sales. I was sales leader, started as a sales rep, sales director, sales leader throughout a couple of different companies. Cutco Sales was one, Rackspace IT Hosting was another. And throughout that career, full-time W-2 job, we would just try to buy properties. The goal was always to retire with real estate and have enough passive income that we could become financially free, have our payments being taken care of by renters, and then be able to retire and do full-time real estate. So that was always the goal and enjoyed the process. In 2008, like I said, we bought our first property and it turned into 10 years later, we bought eight. We had a portfolio. We were still managing all of these properties. At the same time, I had a W-2. The kids came. It made it a little more difficult to keep going on this trajectory and found some education at that time. My sister dragged me into a three-day seminar over the weekend and just opened my mind to all of the things that people were doing and signed up for some education, signed up for some courses, and then went on our run from 8 to 800 doors. And just like you said, just invested passively first to kind of see, feel my way through this process. And then now a general partner in a couple of larger deals as well. So we focus on B and C value add properties, 100 unit plus. So far, we've done only syndication as general partners or active partners, and we've enjoyed the run so far. So that's a little bit about me. Maybe I'll pause here for
it. No, you mentioned, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it took 10 years to get to 8 doors.
Yep.
Right. But then after that, it's like something changed, right? I mean, then you're at 800 doors. How long was that? I missed it.
Yeah, it's been about 2 years. So I did my first, or a little under, my first limited partner passive investor kind of investment was 128 units. We invested passively from our 401k. We left one job where I left the W-2. So I was able to transition that to an IRA and then self-directed that into the deal. And that was October of 2018. So that was my first one. And, you know, just kept moving.
What changed? You know, like I would imagine there's numerous things that had to change, but I'd love to know what change had to take place for you to not just take the action to do it, but like just have the mindset that it was even possible as well. And I know that had to happen for me, I know. What about yourself?
For me, it was really a job. It was my W-2. It was my day job, right? I had a fantastic run, as you kind of saw there, some numbers. I led a pretty large sales team of about 50 to 60 sales reps. I had about 6 or 7 sales managers all under me, and we had an amazing 10X run, $57 million in acquisitions. And every year, my quota would be reevaluated. And I realized, man, this is not going to end anytime soon. I look back on my 20-year sales history of my career, and I had pretty much been, for the first 5 to 7 years, maybe 100% commission. Never had a stable salary until I was an IT sales professional. I had 50% of my commissions were at risk, and 50% of them were my base pay, right? So always at risk, every year you put 50% up. And I realized, man, as I keep continuing to perform, no matter how many sales I made, my quota actually went up. I was rewarded every year with great success with a bigger quota, which means we had to sell more, produce more, and actually get paid less for the same amount. I was very blessed to have this opportunity, 10-year run with this company called Rackspace. The founders were awesome. The leadership was awesome. My direct leaders were awesome. So I stayed there for so long. But I just realized, man, there's never going to be a time where I'm creating this return, this profit, this wealth. It's never going to be mine unless I actually put it into something that's going to create some income generation for me and an asset that would produce when I was asleep. So that was kind of the mindset. And it was a slow transition to commercial multifamily real estate. But since 2008, that was the goal. I just didn't realize back then that I could actually go buy an apartment complex. It did not click in my mind till later. I have a friend and partner and somebody locally that I've worked with, and he's done a lot of business. And I looked at him, I go, man, he's just like me. He's a normal guy. How are people doing this? And I started taking education and classes to feed that. So you have that doubt, that fear, that worry, that anxiety of actually moving forward on a big commercial project. And what allowed me to overcome that was added education. So with more competence, it basically gives you confidence and it removes some of that fear and anxiety. And then you just keep taking one action after another.
Love that. Added education gave you confidence. No doubt about it. When you don't know, I mean, you're fearful, right? You don't know what to expect or what's going to happen or how to do something. How did you educate yourself? Give us a couple tips there before we move on that gave you that level of confidence.
Well, First was the action to go do a deal on my own. And I think that was the one benefit from single family was I could save more dollars, hard-earned money for a couple of years, put 25 or 30 grand into a deal. Paperwork, education was back then talking to my mortgage broker, getting a good team behind me, having a good property. Was it the realtor who was helping me and actually going through like education on how to pick the property? So I applied that same mindset for 10 years, my single family team to my multifamily team. And I said, well, there's got to be something to that. And I realized the team has a lot, it feels like a lot more expertise. There's a lot more people. But basically did the same process. Who do I need for a lawyer? Who's going to help me analyze the numbers? Who's going to help me underwrite? Who's going to help me, you know, make sure the asset was good? And so that education came from asking people that I knew were successful. They were doing the same thing that I wanted to do. I asked them for their referrals. And then I also signed up for about 4 to 5 educational courses. I did spend a good chunk of money 4 courses later. I probably had traveled to 13 to 14 cities, many multiple weekends. I did this while my wife was pregnant. And we made that decision and said, if I'm going to do it, you're going to be alone on the weekends because I had the full-time job. I have to go travel every Friday and return Monday. That was a grind probably for my first year, really educating myself hard. So I went to multifamily seminars, multifamily, the conferences. I went to commercial classes, specifically on commercial, the overall world, not just multifamily, some underwriting classes. And I just kind of, I signed up for and paid for as many courses as I could throughout the year. So that was a fun year. And then every time I was back home, call it Monday through Friday, if I wasn't at work during lunch, washing dishes, outside in the backyard, just podcasts. So I don't even know how to count how many hours of podcasts I've consumed. You know, and then after that, it was like, well, the voice I kept hearing, and I know somebody said, I didn't come up with this, I won't take credit, but they said, hey, education without action is just entertainment. And unless you take action, none of that education can actually help you. And they say knowledge is power, but implemented knowledge, that'll change your life. And so that is the kind of those mindsets that I said, I've got to apply and I've got to go do something. I got to invest in a deal. I got to learn from it. And so that was kind of my education. And then I'm obviously now I'm still learning every single deal, every single opportunity, every podcast. You know, we haven't been to a conference in a while, and I don't know how often these are going to come back during our time where 1,000 of us are going to be shaking hands, but I'm trying to do these Zoom events now and started a meetup. That's helped me through my education. People ask me questions. Started that one locally, and now we're on to webinars and doing these live webinars every couple of weeks. So that all of that has kind of forced me, well, I'm going to be giving education. I better learn it myself. So that was kind of the progression of education where I still feel myself, I'm going to still continue learning as much as I can.
Yeah.
And every day, every week, every month.
You know, you mentioned going to conferences like many, many weekends, and obviously work, you know, while you're working full time and you've got a wife who's pregnant at home. And so you're gone a lot, obviously. I mean, I've lived it a few years now myself, so I understand, but I love to find out because I think it's so important and it's not talked about too often, but like the family unit is so important and this, the support at home is just crucial. And so I'd love to, if you can elaborate at all to help the listener who's thinking about fixing to go down this journey. And I know I didn't realize it, but they don't realize this, the sacrifice the whole family has to endure, you know, and just how you all held it together and kept pushing through.
Yeah. Well, at the core of it, me and my wife were both Christian. We're married for those 12 years. And the reason I say she's my partner, right? Throughout this business, whether or not she feels like extremely active in it, she's my main partner and the main strategist throughout everything. I can act, I can put it together. But at the end of the day, it was those knee-to-knee hand conversations, kitchen table. Kids weren't there yet, right? So we're planning out our future in 1 year, 3 year, 5 years down the road. And every once in a while, you have those conversations where it's like, I'd like to sit down, talk tonight, grab a piece of paper and a pen, and let's talk about this is really what I want to go do. And she goes, I agree. That's why I've supported you, because I want to go do what you're going to do as well. And talk about the sacrifices that are going to have to be made. And we said, you're going to be pregnant. It's going to be 9 months. I'm going to have to go to these courses. And I'll probably even go up to these courses 7 or 8 months. We'll stop traveling around this time. You know, we'll have a break and then I'm going to have to get back to it. But we kind of mapped out the fact that we have 2 kids under 2, right? As we mentioned. So we've always said, well, even then it's not going to stop. It's going to be 2, 3, 5 years old, but we're thinking of elementary school, we're thinking of middle school, we're thinking about as they grow, there's only one shot that I was ever going to have to be with my children and to have that time to really help grow them up right? And so this was our opportunity. So we said, there's going to be the sacrifices, budgeting, saving money, trying to figure out the best way to continue to invest, to have the education. She now stays home. She's able, thank you, Lord, to stay home with the kids full time, but that's not an 8 to 5. That's a 24/7, 365. And so,
for sure,
you know, just thankful that she wants to go do that. And that's part of the process, is like having a good solid partner to help you through it. And are we always 100% in line? Not 100%, but pretty damn close. And then, you know, when we start to say, hey, let's pray together and figure it out. And then we end up coming right online, right on track. And I think that's a big part of it, is talking about what we want to do and making sure those goals are in line and then put it on paper. That's one of the most important things, and review those 6 months every year and make sure, are you still on board? Are we still going to go do this? And now, as we were just talking a couple of weeks ago, I said, I really think we should write a book. And then I say we, I mean I, but it's going to be our story. And she's like, yeah, you know what? I think that would be an amazing sacrifice to do so. And let's help others. And there'll probably be another great you know, avenue for our own education and to serve back our listeners, our community. And we were already talking about, well, how should we position this and what should we write it about? And so that's part of having a good partner and looking at it, not only business partner, but life partner. Life is first, me, my relationship with God, my relationship with my wife, and then our kids. And then after that, it's everyone else, our larger family. So it's, I think that was kind of paramount for success.
You know, one thing I love that you mentioned there is that you ultimately you sat down with your wife, but you talked about your vision. You talked about where you want to go, where you want to be, and really expressed your why. You all discussed your why. She was behind that why, right? I mean, she could envision herself there. She could support that why. And I just think that's so important. It's been important for myself personally. So, you know, my wife's not directly involved in real estate, but I tell everybody, just like you said, she is the biggest partner in the business because, I mean, she's doing everything in the house while I'm working all these crazy hours, going to conferences and speaking, doing whatever, like you're talking about. She's plays a big role in this business, but it's because our why and our mission that she can stay on board too and support it like she does. And so I appreciate you sharing that. But Abel, what's been the hardest part of this syndication journey for you?
I would say up till now, it's really finding the right opportunities. Part of it is the mindset I have in single family, which is if I'm going to find a good property, I need to go off market and I need to canvas either mailers or make cold calls or do the outbound in the single family side. And because I've done a number of wholesale deals and a number of opportunities where we have been able to do about 2 to 3 single family transactions a month. But taking that mindset and kind of pushing it to the side a little bit, I know that it can be done, but it kind of feels like the brokers are the better flywheel. If you can prove your surety of close, if you can show them that you can close it, now you're going to be recognized from the broker and say, hey, I'd like to send you this deal. Where are you? Are you first on the line, fifth on the line, or are you 10th on the line? But trying to figure out how to get closer to that deal flow, right? That was probably one of my biggest hurdles, my biggest obstacles up until this point.
Wow. What's been the way that you've recently improved your business that we could apply to ours?
I would say this is really pulling back from my 10-year track record of building sales teams, of building successful engines, of building successful revenue-generating models. I always love recruiting, hiring, and training the right team. Having the right team will absolutely position you for success and the ability to scale, keep growing, and not have to kind of micromanage everything. My ability, I think, to choose leaders that I thought were either better than me or were going to be better than me in the future was just such a pivotal mindset for my long-term success. I think success is short-sighted when you're only hiring people that are not as good as you, or you're fearful of hiring them up because they could be better than you. I was the exact opposite. And I always thought, man, if I can just hire somebody better than me, how do I find that person? Then we're all going to benefit us on the team. So really, I kind of look at that same mindset. And that's what I think of as a flywheel, especially in commercial real estate, is if you just find the right team members, people that are better than you at whatever skill or expertise you need, any deficiency you can overcome with the right team member. So if you're not a good Excel guy and you're not really great at performance or underwriting, I can go find somebody that's way better than me at that. If I don't have any deal flow, I can find out, well, this individual has a ton of deal flow. If I'm not the capital raiser, I can't generate millions of dollars. Well, who's the right person that can help with that? And so I would say that's really what's helped me on the commercial multifamily side is I'm always looking for partners to raise my game because I at my peer level, so I can kind of see what other people are doing. I'm looking for partners that are a couple steps ahead of me. And then I'm looking for education or mentoring and coaching from people that are thousands of units above me. So I think if I can always have those mentors and coaches and build that team, that's really what's helped my business grow very, very quickly, very rapidly, is just finding the right team members. And that's, you know, I think a superpower in and of its own.
For sure. And how do you connect with those people that are thousands of doors ahead of you?
Yeah. Well, up until the pandemic, I think a great place for them was these real estate conferences. And I would spend a lot of money on education. Part of it was being there in person to get the education. But I think the bigger part of it is networking. And so now, let's say during the quarantine, whether we come out, the show will come out later, right? It's May now. Let's say this comes out in June. Well, we may be more opened up, but it's probably going to still be a little difficult to put 1,000 people all together in a room shaking hands. There's something very valuable to face-to-face.
Yes.
But now, man, LinkedIn is an amazing platform. It is an amazing asset. I would say you probably don't want to do IM instant message only. You probably do want to follow somebody, have some good information or nuggets about their background. Send them a thoughtful message, like some of their posts on LinkedIn today, engage with them, try to provide value to what they're doing. And then at some point, ask for a phone call, see if you can set up a time, then really learn more about them and come in advance prepared to show them how you can bring value. So if we do get back to conferences, much easier. You can literally go up to somebody at the front of the room that's talking and shake their hands, introduce yourself, and stay in contact with them. But if we are still like in, you know, this kind of a state where we don't come together as much in person, then that's the way I'm doing things right now on LinkedIn. And I think it's helping. And
I was going to ask your best source for meeting new investors, and maybe that's it, you know, pre-COVID and post as well.
Yeah. Pre-COVID, definitely conferences. I think getting together with like-minded individuals that all want to go do the same thing. I'm a passive investor first. So I passively invested in 400 doors. I put a good chunk of change in myself, two deals, and my wife in a deal herself. And so being a passive investor allows me, I believe, to relate to somebody because I know what they're feeling. I did that first, right? So even just relating to a potential passive investor that's trying to learn more, if I can help fast track their learning by providing value and education without any kind of agenda, I think people naturally say, oh man, Abel is pretty helpful. How do I stay in contact with you? Well, where are you doing deals? What market are you in? And now I get the questions back, and it was a great source for passive investors. Now, post-COVID, that's why I think I've tried to transition to live events, webinars, where I am getting a little more strategic on the information and putting up a good good subject. We've got a meetup page where we've driven people there. It was a live event. It was in person here in San Antonio. We had about 50 to 60 people that would come to our meetup once a month. And so we've kind of transitioned that and said, hey, come join us here until, and we've done two of these. We did a lunchtime event, and then we did an evening event to kind of catch maybe somebody at work, somebody in the evening,
right?
And then create your landing page and ask people to come talk to you afterwards if they want to learn more, and kept the topics kind of at that high level, top 100 level, to try to attract somebody that's maybe in single family and they're trying to figure out, how do you even invest in a multifamily? I wouldn't even know the first place to start, to start there. And now I'm also a coach for apartment educators, local group, kind of same team, started education platform, and I've been coaching there. And I think we're really starting to build an ecosystem that attracts both passive investors, multifamily active investors, maybe other peoples that may be considered as your competition. Like, no, the world is big enough. We're not going to be in a competitive standpoint. If we can all get together and say, hey, we're here in San Antonio and, you know, we're drawing traffic. And now with the webinars, I think we're going a little bit past San Antonio, which is cool. It's what pushed us, I think, post-COVID. So that's the way we're attracting investors today.
Nice.
And then, just have conversations with people. People ask me on Facebook, hey, how did you do that? Hey, I'm looking at single family property. Hey, what do you think about this land? And I have never bought raw land, you know, up to date. Actually, I take it back. We've done it once, but I wouldn't say I'm an expert in it, but I'm, you know, just try to help somebody through the process. And then pretty soon they ask me, well, what do you do? I'm a multifamily syndicator. This is what I do. And the conversation ends up headed that way. So
what's the number one thing that's contributed to your success?
I think the ability to take action. Fear and worry and doubt are definitely always part of, I would say, being a human, right? And that fear, worry, and doubt a lot of times will hold people back. And what I think has helped me more than anything is just the ability to analyze the risk, look at the situation that I'm in, have a good situational awareness, make a decision, and then act on it. And I think most people get stopped. They orient themselves to what's happening. They make a decision, but never act. And I think that's probably the biggest area of impact for me that's allowed me to have the most success. I'm not always right. I'm human. I'm going to make a ton of mistakes. But when I make it, I'm going to take the next action to correct it. It's not, sure. It's never a freeze. It's, man, This is what happened. What's the next action? What's the best next course or path? And let's keep moving forward. And a lot of times my biggest obstacles have been my biggest opportunities. So just keep taking action.
How do you like to give back?
I serve today at the house, at church. I'm a deacon there and, you know, just enjoy doing that. I like sharing education and information, providing coaching, guidance. I've been doing that for 20 years. Whether you call me a formal coach or not, I was a sales leader. And so all these individuals would come up and they want to figure out how they can obtain success. I like sowing into people, telling them the knowledge that I've acquired. And not all of it's 100%, but this is how I got here. And if you think this is a good path, do the same thing because it's a repeatable process. I love helping others. I love that.
Well, I appreciate you giving back in that way, Abel. I hope many people will reach out to you that were in your shoes and that you can help as well. Tell them how they can get in touch with you and learn more about you.
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's the number 5TCRE. So 5TCRE, like commercialrealestate.com. And you can put in your contact information. If you go to 5TCRE.com/invest, there's a landing page. You can put your name, your phone number. There's a Calendly link where you can schedule time on my calendar. And I'd love to talk with you about passive investing, active investing. And then eventually I'll have some kind of a book, but it probably won't be till end of 2020-21. So it'll be some time. But yeah, come visit my site and set up a time. I'd love to have a conversation with you.
Awesome. That's a wrap, Abel. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Whitney. Appreciate the time and wish you the best.
Thank you for listening to the Real Estate Syndication Show, brought to you by LifeBridge Capital. LifeBridge Capital works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate, while also donating 50% of its profits to assist parents who are committing to adoption. LifeBridge Capital, making a difference, one investor and one child at a time. Connect online at www.lifebridgecapital.com for free material and videos to further your success.